Welcome to the Nowracast Tech Briefing. I'm your host, and today we're looking at some stories that show just how weird and vulnerable our most advanced technologies can be.
That's right. We've got a packed show today, starting with a fascinating and honestly pretty funny postmortem from OpenAI. It turns out their language models developed a bizarre obsession with fantasy creatures, and the reason why exposes a major flaw in how we train AI.
We'll also be diving into the cybersecurity world. There is a new, incredibly stealthy Linux kernel exploit called CopyFail that is keeping cloud infrastructure engineers up at night because it bypasses almost all traditional monitoring tools.
And in the quantum computing space, we're looking at a major strategic move. Intel CEO Lip-Bu Tan has just joined the board of PsiQuantum, a startup valued at $7 billion. It's a huge signal for the future of quantum manufacturing.
Plus, we have a rapid-fire roundup covering the Space Force's $7 billion orbital tracking initiative, ABB's new automated robotics cell, IonQ's massive revenue projections, and Belgium's sudden reversal on nuclear power. Let's get right into it. Let's start with a really bizarre but incredibly revealing story out of OpenAI. If you've been using ChatGPT recently and noticed it getting a little overly metaphorical, or maybe a bit too obsessed with fantasy creatures, you are not alone. OpenAI just published a postmortem on what they are officially calling the goblin problem.
I love that this is an official technical term now. So, starting with the rollout of the GPT 5.1 model, users started noticing the AI was acting strange. OpenAI's telemetry showed that the use of the word goblin in ChatGPT outputs spiked by an astonishing 175%. And it wasn't just goblins. The word gremlin went up by 52%. It was just constantly comparing everyday things to fantasy creatures.
Think about the sheer scale of GPT 5.1. Millions of queries a day, and suddenly a measurable percentage of them are talking about ogres and gremlins. Which is funny at first, but it highlights a really serious structural issue with how we train these models, specifically regarding reinforcement learning from human feedback, or RLHF. OpenAI traced the root cause back to their personality customization features. Specifically, it was a flaw in how they trained the nerdy persona.
Right. When they were training that specific persona, the human raters and the automated reward models started heavily favoring outputs that use these quirky, creature-based metaphors. A human rater sees a response comparing a software bug to a gremlin. They think it's clever. They give it a thumbs up. The problem is that the reward signal bled out. It didn't just stay confined to users who actively selected the nerdy persona.
It propagated through the training data cycles and infected the broader model behavior. It's a classic alignment problem. You reward a behavior in a specific, narrow context, and the model generalizes it as a universal good for all conversations. To fix it in the new GPT 5.5 release, OpenAI literally had to hard-code a system prompt. And the prompt is incredibly specific and kind of hilarious.
It really is. It tells the model, quote, "Never talk about goblins, gremlins, raccoons, trolls, ogres, pigeons, or other animals or creatures unless it is absolutely and unambiguously relevant to the user's query." The inclusion of pigeons and raccoons in that list is just fantastic. It implies the nerdy persona was basically acting like a hyperactive dungeon master.
But on a serious note, this shows how vulnerable these massive models are to style drift. And it's not just a harmless quirk. If a model can drift this easily toward a stylistic preference, what happens when the reinforcement learning accidentally rewards a subtle political bias or a dangerous technical assumption?
Exactly. If you're an enterprise relying on this model for customer service, you don't want your chatbot telling a client that their billing error is like an ogre in the system. It completely breaks the professional tone. It's a wake-up call for the industry about the unpredictable nature of RLHF at scale.
You think you are tweaking a dial for a fun personality feature, and you end up fundamentally altering the linguistic baseline of the most widely used AI model in the world.
Moving from AI quirks to a very real infrastructure nightmare, let's talk about CVE-2026-31431, which the security community has dubbed CopyFail. This is a Linux kernel logic vulnerability that was disclosed on April 29th, and it is causing a lot of panic across the cloud infrastructure world.
And for very good reason. CopyFail allows an unprivileged local user to gain full root privileges. But what makes this exploit so terrifying is its sheer stealth. The exploit uses a tiny 732-byte Python script to perform a highly controlled 4-byte write into the page cache of readable files.
Let's break down why that matters. By modifying the page cache directly in memory, it doesn't trigger any on-disk file changes. That means traditional file integrity monitoring tools, which are the absolute backbone of most server security setups, are completely blind to it.
You could have an attacker actively modifying set UI binaries on the fly, maybe flipping a conditional jump instruction to grant themselves root access, and your security dashboard would show absolutely nothing wrong because the actual file on the hard drive hasn't been touched.
The vulnerability actually stems from an in-place optimization that was introduced way back in 2017. It's located in the kernel's AF_ALG cryptographic interface, which is the user space interface to the kernel's crypto API. It's worth noting that this optimization was introduced to speed things up. It's the classic trade-off in computer science: performance versus security. They wanted the interface to be as fast as possible, so they cut a corner on memory isolation.
And 9 years later, that cut corner turns into a 732-byte script that can compromise a multi-million dollar cloud cluster. So we are talking about a critical privilege escalation bug that has been sitting dormant in almost all mainstream Linux distributions for nearly a decade. If you are running a kernel built between 2017 and the patch release on April 1st, 2026, you are vulnerable.
This brings up a massive debate in the security community right now. For a long time, the assumption was that finding deep, high-impact logic flaws in the core Linux kernel was getting exponentially harder and more expensive. The low-hanging fruit was supposed to be gone.
But CopyFail proves that assumption wrong. It's incredibly elegant and relatively simple once you understand the cryptographic interface flaw. A 732-byte script is tiny. It fits in a single network packet. It can easily be hidden or snuggled into an environment. It completely changes the threat model, especially for containerized environments. Because this bug can be used as a container escape primitive, it means a compromised, low-privileged container could potentially take over the underlying host operating system without leaving a footprint on the disk. Organizations really need to reevaluate their reliance on purely disk-based integrity monitoring. They have to look at memory forensics and ensure their kernel patching pipelines are moving faster than ever, because this is a foundational crack in Linux security.
Our final deep dive today takes us into the accelerating quantum computing race. It was just reported that Intel CEO Lip-Bu Tan has officially joined the board of directors of PsiQuantum. For context, PsiQuantum is a highly secretive private quantum computing startup that is currently valued at a staggering $7 billion.
This is a massive endorsement for PsiQuantum's specific technological approach. While a lot of their heavy-hitting competitors, like IBM and Google, are focused on superconducting qubits, or others are looking at trapped ions, PsiQuantum is building a utility-scale, fault-tolerant quantum computer using photonic qubits.
Right. They are using particles of light. And the key differentiator here is that they are designing their architecture to be manufactured using standard semiconductor processes. They want to use the exact same fabrication plants that make traditional silicon chips.
That's the absolute holy grail for quantum. If you can build quantum chips in existing fabs, you solve one of the biggest bottlenecks in the industry, which is scaling the hardware. And Lip-Bu Tan brings decades of deep semiconductor manufacturing expertise to the table. It's worth noting he's had a relationship with them for a while. He actually invested in PsiQuantum back in 2019 during their Series C round through his venture firm, A&E Investments.
Let's talk about the valuation for a second. $7 billion for a company that is still in the pre-commercial research and development phase. that shows you the sheer amount of capital flowing into quantum. Because the winner takes all. If PsiQuantum actually manages to use standard semiconductor fabs to build a fault-tolerant machine, they don't just win the quantum race, they fundamentally alter global computing.
It does raise some incredibly interesting strategic questions, though. Tan is the sitting CEO of Intel. Intel is not a neutral party here. They have their own massive internal quantum computing research division. Sitting on the board of a $7 billion rival, even if they are approaching the physics differently, creates a fascinating dynamic.
Does this signal that Intel is hedging its bets? Or perhaps Tan sees the photonic approach as the inevitable winner for commercial scaling, and Intel wants a front row seat. It's definitely a signal to the broader market that standard semiconductor manufacturing might be the winning path forward.
PsiQuantum is racing to deploy its first utility-scale systems in Brisbane and Chicago. Having the CEO of Intel helping to guide that complex manufacturing rollout is a huge operational advantage for them. But you also have to wonder about the optics and potential conflicts of interest.
Especially given the intense national security focus on quantum computing right now. We are talking about machines that could eventually break modern encryption. Quantum is rapidly moving from a purely academic pursuit into a high-stakes geopolitical and industrial arms race. Board seats at these top-tier startups are becoming incredibly strategic assets. We will definitely be watching closely to see how this board appointment influences Intel's own quantum roadmap.
All right, that's the deep end of the pool. Let's hit a few more stories real quick.
Sounds good. Let's do it.
The U.S. Space Force is asking for a massive funding boost to track aircraft directly from orbit. Their fiscal 2027 budget request includes about $7 billion for the Space-Based Airborne Moving Target Indicator Program, or SBAMTI.
It's a fundamental shift in military doctrine. Instead of relying on vulnerable, manned radar planes like the aging E-3 Sentry, they're building a highly resilient system of systems in space. The plan relies heavily on AI to filter massive amounts of orbital sensor data, allowing them to track fast-moving cruise missiles and aircraft, even in heavily contested airspace, where traditional radar planes couldn't survive.
On the manufacturing front, ABB Robotics just launched their new OmniVance Collaborative Surface Finishing Cell. It's a complete plug-and-play system designed to automate physically demanding, hazardous tasks like industrial sanding and polishing.
The standout feature here is their easy record functionality on the GOFA cobot, which they claim reduces the complex programming time by up to 90%. With industry projections showing a staggering 1.9 million job shortage in manufacturing by 2033, these turnkey systems that can be operated by floor workers without specialized robotics degrees are going to be absolutely critical for small and medium enterprises.
Staying with quantum for a moment, IonQ is solidifying its position as a top pure-play quantum stock on Wall Street. They just issued their 2026 revenue guidance, projecting $235 million, which is a massive jump from $130 million in 2025.
They were also just selected as a primary recipient for a DARPA contract under the Quantum Benchmarking Initiative. While the broader quantum sector remains highly volatile and technically speculative, IonQ is clearly starting to hit significant commercial and government milestones that are separating them from the pack of unprofitable startups.
Finally, Belgium has abruptly halted the decommissioning of its nuclear power plants. The government has entered exclusive negotiations with the energy company Engie for a potential state takeover of all 7 reactors at the Doel and Tihange sites.
This is a complete and historic reversal of their 2003 nuclear phase-out law. They're aiming for an agreement in principle by October 1st. If successful, the deal would transfer the reactors, the personnel, and all the massive long-term financial liabilities of nuclear waste management directly to the Belgian state, prioritizing energy independence over past environmental policies.
And that's going to do it for today's briefing.
Thanks for tuning in. We'll be back tomorrow with more tech news.